I'm going to tell you something, church. You are very blessed. Very blessed. I hope you see it. I hope you know it. Man, God is in this place, and God has given us so richly gifts that we can now pour back to Him in forms of worship such as these. And, you know, as I sit and I just think about where we are as a church and just where God is bringing us, and I believe where God has taken us, we are very blessed. And God is wanting to do something in this place, and I can honestly tell you, even though it's only been just a short while, I am so appreciative to be your pastor. And just sitting this morning and just listening and listening to the hearts of those of you who have sang, even just read, you know, a letter or two letters, man, God is in the place, and God is doing something. And if we can, let's just pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we come to you again. God, we are so honored that we can sit in this place. We're so honored, Father, that we can even come to you in communication and prayer. God, we don't take it lightly. Father, we thank you for what's already happened this morning, God. And what we've believed up until this point is that the gospel was already going to be proclaimed through song. And so, God, as we go into these next few moments, just to remind ourselves of that baby that laid in a manger, that God, you would showcase yourself to us in a new and fresh way today. That God, we would experience you in a way that just takes our breath away. As I think about what that night might have looked like, and I think about what might have happened in that night, God, I just wonder what it would have been like to fall on their knees and to hear the angels sing praise to you. How amazing that sight must have been. But God, even more special than that is when creation would fall on our knees and we would lift our voices to you. I believe that, God, brings a smile to your face. And so, God, as we move through your word for just a few moments, God, would you speak to us? Would you challenge us? God, would you remind us of that baby that laid in that manger? God, we will give you praise for all that you've done and all that you will do. And it's in the name of that baby, that Jesus that laid in a manger, we pray these things. Amen. And in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And so Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the place called the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day, this very day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And the angels went away, and they went away from them into heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all that they had heard and all that they had seen and all that had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was even conceived in the womb. The true meaning of Christmas. when you go and you look at the story, it's interesting the things that had taken place. So I just want to just kind of briefly walk back through that text, and then we'll look at a few more this morning. But it says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. All the world was going to be taxed. And so everybody now had to go their way and go back to their homes to be registered, which is so beautiful of a picture of God lining out the pieces of this puzzle, getting Joseph and Mary back to the place that it was foretold long, long, long ago that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. And so they went. And so it says that they went back to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the line and the lineage of David, and he was registered to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, his engaged wife, who was now with child. But the interesting thing it says is, and in the same region, so in the same area, were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock. The shepherds were doing what the shepherds knew to do. This was their family business. They were raised to be shepherds. Probably their fathers were shepherds. Their fathers were shepherds. This is what they knew, and they're out in a field. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, suddenly an angel appeared to them. So no wonder when the Bible says they were filled with great fear, duh. Like, this is what's happened. They're out there looking at the sheep. They're keeping account of the sheep. They're probably talking to each other. They're doing all of these things. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and it says they were filled with great fear. This is, of course, what would happen all the time. When you're doing what you've been called to do, but yet God shows up in the midst of what's just normal to you. So the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And listen to the way that verse is written. Listen to the words of the angel. I bring you good news. This is something of excitement. This is not something that you just read with, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. The angel's like, this is great news. The very thing that you've been looking for, the very thing you've been praying for, the thing that's been prophesied for years, it's here. He's here. There is great news of great joy for all people, not just the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for the high, the mighty, the low, the lonely, all people. Great joy. It's amazing when we look at the story. This is not just Christmas, church. This is all the time. This is great news for us. That God has come. That Emmanuel, God stepped out of the glory of heaven into sinful humanity to be here for us. So he says, I bring you great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day. He's saying, hey, right now, what's taking place right now? The Messiah, the Savior of the world, he's being born right now, guys. Okay, this is not just that's interesting. Could you imagine what now these shepherds who, number one, they're still fearful, I'm sure, even though the angel said, don't be afraid. They're probably trying to process everything that's going on. And the angel's like, hey, right now, right here in this moment, there is a baby that is being born. But he's not just some baby. This is going to be the Savior, the Messiah, the long-awaited King. So he says, for unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. So not only this, the angel is already anticipating that the shepherds are going to do what they only knew to do. We got to go see what's going on, right? How many of you, when something crazy happens, you immediately want to go and look to see what it was, right? How many of you, like maybe you hear something and you immediately go to the internet or you immediately pull your phone up and you want to find out what's going on, right? Is there anybody in the room or is that just me? Okay, like three of us. Okay, awesome. So the rest of you, you just don't trust anybody, I guess. But a lot of times what we do is, as soon as something great and mighty has been told, we immediately want to go and look. So he says, you will find this as a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth lying in a manger. And suddenly, can you imagine here again? And suddenly, so that means as he said this, boom, the heavens opened up and it said, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. And I love that. I love it, because the angels could not contain themselves. They then had to bust out in absolute joyful worship to the same King that you and I should be doing the same for. But it's amazing to me that so often in our churches, we see this scene that these angels bust open the gates of heaven and they too want to worship this King, this baby in a manger. Yet so many times we come into our churches and we just come and sing a song for the sake of singing a song. This is the Savior of the world. It's not just some baby. He's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And so it says, and suddenly a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. And so the angels went away, it said, and the shepherds looked at each other and said, hey, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. It says, and they went with haste. You know what that term means, with haste? They went fast. They went quick. As fast as their little shepherd feet could take them, they were going. And so often I think we kind of misunderstand the text. And I think so often we just think that, and I don't even think we do it on purpose. I think we just think of this scene as they just kind of walk up and just kind of knock on the little, I don't know if there was a stall door there, we don't know. But they just kind of like enter in, you know. Because like, here's the thing. When's the last time you went into a hospital when a mother had given birth to a son or to a daughter, and you went busting the door wide open like, woohoo, what's going on? You don't do that, right? Why? I know, because the baby's asleep. And you don't want to, listen, number one, you don't want to wake the baby. Number two, you don't want to mess with Mama Bear already, right? You just don't want that to happen. But it says in the text that they went with haste. They went full of excitement and joy. They were going to find this baby, the long-awaited Messiah. And so, just food for thought. I wonder how often we come to the Messiah with that same terminology. We come with haste to him over and over and over again. So it says, and they went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph, the baby, lying in a manger. And when they saw him, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. In other words, they are telling Mary and Joseph everything that was told to them. And I imagine Mary and Joseph's going, yeah, we already know. We know this. And so it says they made known the statements or the sayings that was told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it, they wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart, as any mother would do, I believe, just sitting back and thinking about the idea that God found favor in her. Of all people, of all women, her. And I believe as she pondered, as she thought through these things, I can only just imagine what was running through her mind and her heart. But it says that she pondered all of these things in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And so it's interesting, how often do we do this? You know, anytime you study Scripture, you always need to place yourself as you're reading the text. You always need to ask yourself the question, how am I responding to this text specifically? And so it says that they returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen, all that they had heard. And so in your life today, in this moment, will you leave glorifying and praising God for all that you've seen, all that you've heard, but not just today, but tomorrow, not just tomorrow, but Wednesday, not just Wednesday, but Saturday. And then will you come back in next Sunday tired and exhausted from glorifying and praising God all week and shadowing and forecasting out in the community what God has done in your life and what he's wanting to do in theirs, and you come in and you get rejuvenated, you go out and you do it again. They went with haste, and after they left, they went glorifying and praising God for all that they've seen and all that they heard. So who is this baby in a manger? Well, he's the one that Isaiah prophesied about in Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall give him the name Emmanuel. Then later on in 9:6, for unto us a child is born and to us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulders and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the one who the wise men sought after and they worshiped. Matthew 2:10 says that when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down on their face and they worshiped him. He is Emmanuel, God with us, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. This is the baby in the manger. He's full of unfailing love and faithfulness. No matter what you do in your life, no matter what you have done, your mistakes, your failures, he's full of unfaithful love unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen the glory of the Father's one and only Son, John 1:29. And the next day, John, talking about John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, behold, or look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John, 1 John 2:2 says, He Himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but for the sins of all the world. See, it's not just a baby lying in a manger. It's not just some normal baby. This is the baby who will later on be named as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who takes away the sins of the world, not just for our sins, but also all. And then Philippians 2:8 says this, When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died on a criminal's cross. Therefore, God elevated Him to a place of highest honor and gave Him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So who is Jesus to you today? Who's Jesus to you? You see, it's interesting because we get so wrapped up in everything that's going on, right? Christmas is a beautiful season, and like I said last Sunday, I love Christmas. I love the Christmas season. I love the season just collectively, right? I love the Christmas music, the decorations, the lights, all of these things. I love the family get-togethers. I love the eating, clearly, right? This is one of the reasons why we had you stand up and sit down so much, because we know that you've eaten a lot over the past couple of days, and we're just giving you the exercise that your body's looking for. And so, like, I love all of these things. But if we're not careful, church, we end up bowing down to those things rather than bowing down to the manger, to where Jesus was. Do you understand this? And we cannot let this happen. Our children are too valuable to let that happen. Christmas tree is great, but the Christmas tree was made of the wood that really came from the cross. And that's the reason why Jesus was born. This isn't some baby. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the question is for you and in your house, who is Jesus for you? Because as Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Christmas is great, but the cross is greater. And in my life, there is no question about it. You won't have to ask me what my children will know. My children will know that God decided to step out of humanity into sin, or step out of heaven into humanity to take on the sin of the world on a criminal's cross for me and for them and for all that were to listen. That's what Christmas is about for me. And so this morning, we just wanted to have a reminder. Who is Jesus to you? Presents are great. I love presents. I didn't really get many, but I love presents. Gifts are fun. Seeing the smiles on faces are great. But Paul said, therefore God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And I heard an old pastor one time say, there's coming a day where every knee will bow. You'll either bow and worship or you'll be forced to bow. So just remember that. That every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. My question to you this morning is, who is Jesus to you? And as you go throughout the rest of your day, I pray that you would just take a moment, going all the way back to what Mary did. Take the example of Mary. It says that Mary just pondered these things in her heart. And today, would you just sit back and ponder in your heart who Jesus is to you? Christmas is a great time. It's a great season. Christmas is not just a one day of the year, guys. For the Christian, it's always a constant reminder of just how much God loved you. That He was willing to send His only begotten Son to a world that has now despised Him. They've rejected Him. They've turned to Him, turned away from Him. They've spit at Him. They've done all these things, but yet because of the love that He had for us, He would send His Son to die on a cross for us. And as you ponder that, I just wonder what God's going to show you and going to allow you to experience of Himself today. That God loves me. Me. He's found favor in me. Not for anything that I've done, not for anything that I've offered Him, but just because He loves me. And although these gifts are great, He gave the only gift that no one else could give. That was his son. Not so that the world was going to go, oh, look at him, because the world rejected him all the way to a cross. But yet Jesus did it knowing full well what was coming. As you ponder those things, I just want you to take that moment. That is where I think worship starts in our hearts, is to think and to ponder what he's done for you. That's it. That's Christmas. That's Christmas, church. And so this morning, maybe you're here and maybe you've never given an opportunity in your life to allow Jesus to come into your heart and to be the not just the Savior, but the Lord of your life. You know, there's a difference. There is a Savior who saves you from your sin, but then he's also wanting to be Lord. He's wanting to be that which he will have control over your life to fulfill about your life, his will that is far greater than you could ever imagine or dream possible. And so maybe you're here this morning and you've never done that. And if that's the case, I want to give you a moment that you would just come down front. Maybe you come to me and you say, Brother Matt, I've never actually given my life to Jesus, and this morning I want to. There's no better time than now. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die. That means that every person in the room, you have an appointment with death. Newsflash. It's appointed unto man once to die, then after that comes judgment. The Bible also says that you do not know the hour in which your soul is required. We are not guaranteed to make it home today. We are not guaranteed to make it to the next family get together, to make it to the next meal. Right now is the moment given. What will you do with it? So maybe you're here this morning, you just simply want to say, Brother Matt, I want to give my life to Jesus. And if that's the case, I ask that you just simply come. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd like to make Eastside Baptist Church your church home. We'd love to have you. Amen. A couple of us, we'll figure the rest of it out later. We'd love to have you. Maybe that's what you want to do this morning. And today on Christmas Day, how amazing would that be to let somebody come and join the family here? Maybe you just need to sit for a moment and just ponder these things in your heart. Ask yourself the question, who is Jesus to me? And maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe far too long you've just kind of just coasted through. Listen, it doesn't matter if you teach Sunday school. It doesn't matter if you lead Bible studies. It doesn't matter if you do a small group. It doesn't matter if you come to church. It doesn't matter. All of these things, if he's not Lord of your life, then it doesn't matter. So maybe you need to say, you know what? I need to recommit myself to him. I want Jesus to be everything for me. I want to make a difference. I want to go with haste and tell the world about what he's done to me and for me. So maybe that's you this morning. But what we're going to do is we're not going to sing. We're just going to have the instrument play. And I'm going to ask you just to stand to your feet and to bow your head. You can go ahead. You can go ahead and do it now. And I love that one phrase, Miss Ashley. Fall on your knees and hear the angels' voices. So Heavenly Father, we come to you now. And God, we commit this moment in time for you. That God, each and every one of us in the room, we are given a chance to respond. Whether it's coming down front, or whether it's just taking a seat where we are, whether it's doing whatever we need to do, God, but to respond today. And God, I pray that the question on our heart is, who is Jesus to me? He's not just a baby, but though sometimes in our life, God, we leave him as just a baby in a manger. But he's not just that. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. And we are called to take the good news with great joy to all people. And so, God, today may we come and we respond to you. Whether it's someone who needs to give their life to you, God, what an amazing moment and opportunity it would be right here, right now. Whether somebody wants to come and join this church, God, what an amazing opportunity it would be to welcome somebody into the family. And God, whether it's just a saint who is worn out and torn down and just exhausted, and they've allowed themselves to get comfortable in their life, God, they just want to recommit themselves to you, What an amazing opportunity this is right here, right now. God, don't let us take this for granted. But that God, we will respond to you. As for me and my house, God, we will worship and we will serve you. And that's the prayer for my heart, God. So church, I'm going to give you this moment to respond. You do what the Lord is calling you to do. You respond the way that you believe is necessary for your life. And we're just going to give a moment in this room, in this place for you. And so for the next few moments, we're going to ask that you respond.